Welcome to Mediascape, Insights from Digital Changemakers, a speaker series and podcast brought to you by USC Annenberg's Digital Media Management Program. Join us as we unlock the secrets to success in an increasingly digital world.
Blank Space is an impact strategy firm looking at how we're building impacts and then how we're amplifying that. Prior to that, I was doing that work inside of some very big companies. So it's exciting to launch your own firm. And that's been over 4 years now, and we continue to grow. Blank Space is really about that intersection of impact, culture, and capital. So how are we actually building businesses of the future and looking towards that blank space that we can all go to?
What is your mission?
I'm all about purpose. I work with brands and CEOs, leaders, foundations on their legacy and really what we can do to leave a positive impact on the world. So I spend my time really honing in on what authentic legacy means and really looking at business growth as a piece of that. So what are we doing as far as a business that is the do and the say? How are we making a difference in the world? And then how are we sharing that and our values with all those that we reach?
What does legacy mean to you?
I talk all day long to people about why legacy happens in the little moments right now and the decisions we make and the jobs that we do and the lives that we lead. You know, it's always fun. And maybe this is a little bonus homework exercise for anybody who wants to, after session, do something, is write the obituary that you want to see. When you start to think about your values and what you're doing and leaving behind in everything that you do. So legacy for me is something that is very much alive and really a big piece of the brand I run.
How did you get your start?
I went to school at Penn State University, and I was a triple major because I just like to be busy, I think. But my main focus was on journalism. So I think I was just having this conversation with actually a journalist the other day that it is the root of so much good work in this world. And it's something that you take with you throughout. It helps you look at everything with an inquisitive eye, a lifelong learning, and really being someone who behind the scenes can build strategy. You know, listening is a skill that not many people have in today's landscape. As you can see, it's a lot more yelling. So I am very much excited about my journalism degree to this day. And in my career, I did that route for a while. And I actually wrote for the Irish Times in Dublin for a little while, lived abroad. And then really was, for me, it was always about storytelling as a way to move hearts and minds and really make a difference. And so that eventually led me into, you know, looking at private sector engagement around those issues. And that's kind of a condensed version of a lot of things in between.
What was it like to build your network?
I used to run a foundation for Dermalogica, the skincare brand, years ago. This is about 8-9 years ago. And working all over the world to help women start and grow businesses and managing the whole, you know, corporate oversight of that. And you spend time on the ground and you build these relationships up. I mean, some of my relationships are 15, 20 years in the making. And so it really is just about being a lifelong learner and spending time getting to know other people's priorities and being really good at what you do and being able to, you know, walk through those doors when they open to, you know, advise on that level. But it does not happen overnight.
Can you share a client success story?
I was hired by Weight Watchers, which is known as WW, which many of us have known for a long time. And they did a whole rebranding a couple of years ago, which is exciting. And they had a lot of new people at the helm, people we know really well, like Oprah, thinking about how they're revitalizing the brand and moving it forward. So when I came in to work on their brand purpose, it became very clear to me that if we were to do something that was just WW, it wouldn't be big enough. If we were to do something that was just a partnership, let's say, with food banks and making sure that, you know, their platform about living well and making sure that other communities were able to live well and had access to healthy foods, which in essence was where, you know, the conversation started. It wouldn't be big enough because WW is a platform of transformation and it's a community and it has brands from all over the world that are on there that you're tracking and you're, you know, the nutritional value and that are promoting wellness. So when I presented to them the idea that they actually needed to do something that was more in line with who they were, this is also a brand that's about membership and meeting and coming together and group work. So taking that and combining it to build a huge coalition, the largest brand coalition around this called the Healthy Living Coalition. And we have in it everyone from JP Morgan, B of A, Impossible, Beyond Meat, some competitors in the marketplace, people not even in the food industry directly, really coming together to change and transform food systems.
Do you seek to work with brands that align with your personal values?
I've always been value aligned in my decisions in my career. I left company that didn't meet my values. I didn't want to be making an income and receiving that from that. So for me, value alignment has always been a core of my decisions and livelihood, which is why I eventually became an entrepreneur because it gave me the most control over those things. But helping to move people into the future and make their companies better, the most important thing is the leadership at the top, because you could have the best programs and the best people, but if the person at the top isn't actually making this a priority and driving the company around it, then you'll always be in a friction kind of a place. So as long as I'm sitting down with a CEO that is completely like authentically like, let's do this, then yeah, I'm on board.
What is branding?
Branding in the macro is who you are as a company, right? That's what's part of my presentation around the voice and the identity and what you stand for and what you do. It's having a little bit of control over that. If you don't have a strong brand, it's very easy to see because you end up looking a lot like your competition, or people are confused by what you're giving early days and with entrepreneurs. So I've done a lot of venture work. You have conversations with entrepreneurs that don't have the strong elevator pitch because they haven't done the brand work and they don't know who they are. And they're trying to be everything to everybody. So your brand is you, is the company. It's kind of everything. And I think that sometimes it gets mistaken as like extra output. And that's more of like how you're marketing it, not the actual brand.
Does America have a branding problem?
America is having a moment where some of its values that most people stopped on the street of all walks of life, of all ages, of all backgrounds, of all ethnicities, of all cities in this country would say these are like the top American values. Things like, you know, coming here to create a better life and having an opportunity for your family and education to move forward. That's something that most people put on. I mean, we have the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. And now today, there's so many different versions of what that means, and it kind of doesn't exist anymore in the way it does. And not to get too political on it, but this is stuff that really matters, because then you look at other countries' value propositions. If we're thinking about this from a brand standpoint, and I'll use those words, other countries' value propositions based on the values that we attribute to America, there's actually better options.
How did you get your first client?
I was in Unilever and I was working across the brands in the prestige portfolio. And I started to work with all the founders post M&A, helping them set up their second chapters. So, you know, what does their brand look like as far as becoming part of Unilever and starting their family foundations and their investment portfolio and their impact, their legacy? It was the beginning of my legacy business. And I have been working with Unilever for a very long time, and I'm very lucky to say put the gas in the tank and helped me launch my business. So I have encouraged other folks who are inside and doing well inside, but are thinking about, you know, what that could be like, you know, to not be afraid of those conversations. I was really lucky because what I built was so unique of a value that it was helpful for them, for me to build my business too. So I was very lucky in the fact that I started my business with a very big multinational as my first client.
What is the best way to go about building your network?
I think the biggest mistake people make in networking is that they're running around giving people business cards and no one cares Really. I spend time making really good friends and listening. Again, I can't emphasize it enough. And getting to know what people are working on and where your paths may cross and things that you can send them that could be interesting. And you start to build relationships over many, many years. And I really recommend that, to look at it as, you know, I always say, don't do business with someone you don't want to have dinner with. Like, if they're so terrible that you don't want to have dinner with them, then like, why would you want to do business with them? So say that, and that's how you should approach networking. Like, be your authentic self, connect with people on that level, dive into what their values are, why they're doing their job, and get to know them. And that matters. And you end up building friendships, which are a lot stronger.
How do you build strategy for a brand?
So it really depends on the company, because some companies have spent so much time doing deep research, and that's what they're presenting me with, is their pain point. So that happens a lot, especially with the big companies. Like, the big multinationals have so much funding that they're giving to research and analytics around their target audiences. Some companies don't make the connection to that, though, so you need to ask for it. On our side, the work that I usually bring to the table involves what's happening outside of their purview. So they'll sit down and give me the data on, okay, this is what's happening here. This is where our target audience is. This is where they're not. This is where our competition in the marketplace is. This is where we're not. But I'm really looking at, it kind of goes back to the conversation from earlier on, that cultural tension point, where you can spend a lot of time looking at what's happening in the world is to help inform this work, and then the data behind that. So even pulling reports from Harvard or McKinsey and being able to use those sort of larger analytical landscapes to reflect like that, those industry specific gaps that they might be missing, and then, you know, how effective those impact programs are working to date. But I would say the thing that a lot of people miss in this work is reading all the time and having your pulse on data and knowing where things are going is just such a huge asset. Because unless you are a data analytics company, like I said, odds are they have in-house, at least with my clients, they're not looking for me to do that research necessarily. And I'm there to look at where, I mean, this goes back to the blank space, like what they're missing is more my job.
How did you approach entrepreneurship?
I had many great mentors, both that were corporate, high-end corporate executives, the chain, and entrepreneurs. And they always said that they knew I was an entrepreneur, both sides. It's kind of a personality thing. I'm a rule breaker. I like to come up with big ideas that seem like they're going to fail. You know, I want to push people into thinking bigger. I am never doing my job because I'm running around doing 10 other jobs. Like, you know, I would say that there's a personality that fits this. That's for sure. And it's not an easy life at all. You really have to be willing to, you know, jump in, take risks, put yourself out there and really go after it. And you can imagine some of those years of my business growth were during a pandemic when everything was slowed down, right? So you just have to keep focusing and know exactly what you're working towards and keep going with all the perseverance in the world. So it's a lot of hard work and it doesn't end. On the other side, I did really enjoy being like an intrapreneur, as they now call it. I didn't have those words when I was there. I was just like making a mess. But, you know, you can try and build something where you are. That's what I always did. I would say, let's solve for this problem. Or did you notice that this was happening and we're not doing anything about it? Or our consumers are asking for this. So I was always trying to come up with creative ideas and move the business forward from the inside. And that also helped me to sort of figure out what I was really good at. And it helped the company to see where I could, you know, problem solve for them on the other side.
What advice would you give to others who are looking to transform their industries?
To be honest, you can't do this work unless you are knowing your own purpose and your own why. And I can't stress that enough. And every little bit of my company and every single time I bring on a client, and every decision I have to make is driven by that in my life, from, you know, who I'm spending time with to, you know, where I live, and just really trying to build legacy in what we do and thinking about like the little moments. I think that sometimes people think they don't have a lot of influence in the world because they're not like a YouTube what is that? That weird thing where people like brush their hair and people it's like, don't even get it. But you see what I mean? Like, I don't even care about following. That's why I need to hire one of you guys to figure out my digital media strategy. Because at the end of the day, please don't underestimate like what being a good person and showing up like that, it means a lot. And your clients see it and your team sees it. And I just think that we all have to kind of be better people in order to move business into being better.
To learn more about the Master of Science in Digital Media Management program, visit us on the web at dmm.usc.edu.